Talks, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. In Tel Aviv, as Iran launches new missile attacks across Israel, one missile fell near the American consulate in Tel Aviv. Its concussion caused minor damage, no injuries. Two U.S. officials tell CBS News that the Israelis had the opportunity to kill Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah al-Khamenei, but President Trump conveyed to them that it wasn't a good idea. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded to that on Fox News.
There's so many false reports of conversations that never happened, and I'm not going to get into that, but I can tell you, I think that we do what we need to do. We'll do what we need to do. And I think the United States knows what is good for the United States.
It took state, county, and local police plus SWAT teams, but the law caught up with Vance Butler, the bolter, the man police say shot and killed a Minnesota state representative and her husband. They found him in a field in a rural area of Sibley County. He did not resist and has already been charged. Governor Tim Walz spoke of former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman killed with her husband, Mark.
One man's unthinkable actions have altered the state of Minnesota. Melissa Hortman was the core of who our values were. She had a hand in so many things that happened. The building that we stand in, she helped usher through.
Walz said State Senator John Hoffman is finished with surgeries and his wife Yvette is healing from her wounds. President Trump arrived in Calgary, Canada last night for the G7 summit. CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
The president, of course, has this ongoing trade war between the European Union, other nations around the world, many trade deals that the president has to come up with. So trade will likely be a key focus. In large part, the global economy will also be a key focus of the G7 summit, because remember, this is a gathering of the wealthiest nations in the world.
The National Association for Business Economics panel of forecasters suggests economic growth is slowing and inflation will rise. Economist Rebecca Rocky of Cushman and Wakefield.
Panelists still are expecting GDP growth to moderate pretty substantially. So for the year, on an average annual basis, just 1.3%.
And that, Rocky says, is a substantial slowdown. Well, it was wet and nasty at Oakmont for the U.S. Open, but apparently good for J.J. Spahn.
And one of the most unlikely final round Sundays in U.S. Open history. J.J. Spahn closes the deal.
The call on NBC Sports after Spahn delivered the longest putt all week for a birdie-birdie finish into 72. He won the Open by two shots over Robert McIntyre, was the only player under par. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Another win for Priester. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? The Brewers have the day off before heading to Chicago tomorrow night for a series against the Cubs. The crew with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals yesterday, thanks to 24-year-old Quinn Priester, the right-hander out of Cary, Illinois, who's now won four in a row. I asked him what went through his mind as he held St. Louis to just one run through six innings.
No excuses type of mentality. Even today, you know, don't get a strike, you know, don't get a call go your way. Like, who cares? Like, you can't change it. You know, complain about it's not going to help anybody. So just go out there, do the job. You know, it's asked to me, and try and exceed those expectations and help us win games.
Manager Pat Murphy.
Quinn was great. He's just, we've given him that opportunity, and he's riding it.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers. The series tied at two games apiece. A blockbuster trade. The Grizzlies sending guard Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for two other players and five first-round draft picks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with me. Joining me on this overcast, downright chilly, Wisconsin evening. I hope it's nicer where you are, but down here in our, over here, out here, up here in downtown Green Bay, it is blustery. And we got to muscle through tonight. Hopefully it'll be nicer this weekend for Father's Day. Happy Father's Day ahead of time to all the dads out there that might be listening. It's an important job and at times thankless, but keeping the faith, folks. Dad's tip of the hat. Conrad is riding shotgun as usual. Do you have a nice Father's Day message for your dad, Conrad?
I do. Yeah. And he's not really the Facebook type of person, but I'm sure my mom will show him.
I'm sure he has good qualities too, though.
Yeah. The Facebook thing is understandable, but
yeah.
So my mom, I think, well, we'll show him, you know, whenever the message goes out. Yeah.
But he listens, he texts the show, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying, whenever Amanda posts that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
So we had some fun in the studio today, didn't we?
We did. We had Todd Albaugh was here.
Yeah.
It was fun to be a guest on Todd's show. We have him on Nightlight quite a bit, and he's had me on several times. I always enjoy hanging out with Todd. And, yeah, you were here. You produced that show, too, or helped produce it, I suppose.
They started the show with having Mino and the Mayor.
Really?
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock?
Yep.
What were those guys still doing here?
They went home, and then they came back.
Oh, to be a guest on the show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought they were like loitering or something. I don't. That's kind
they're
of
waiting
fun.
For the showers to open.
and we've got more stuff going on. We've got it's a new Wisco weekend, like they all are. Lisa Hale hosts and does a great job with New Wisco Weekend. I have a classic movie pick. Do you have anything in the show this weekend?
Not this week, but I'm hoping next week to have an interview. But I'm going to keep that under wraps.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Good luck. And I have a classic movie pick, which I'm very excited about. I sort of have a Flag Day. Well, the whole episode has a Flag Day theme, and I picked a movie that I think kind of plays along with Flag Day. I like to do that whenever I can. And Kristen Lierley show is on. I think I'm on that show this weekend, right?
Isn't you are.
Yeah. So Kristen and I will have fun. Check into Dr. Kristen Lierley's talker, if you will, this weekend. You have two chances to listen on Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. Kristen does a great job. So, and we've got a fun show tonight. We've got a lot to get to, as usual. Friday is jam-packed. Starting us off at 6:35, actress and horror film fan, UP actress, I should say, Stephanie Gernow will be joining us here over the stream at 6:35. She's going to talk about a couple movies she's working on currently and that will be out soon. So we'll talk to Stephanie. She makes it all happen from Upper Michigan. I don't know. That's got to be... You know, I think we had a comedian, Jessica Phillips, on the show months ago, and I did a gig with Jessica, who lives in Houghton, Michigan. And folks, if you're a stand-up comedian, or in Stephanie's case, an actress, there is some driving and some travel involved. And those are very remote places. Stephanie is based out of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Beautiful area. But man, that adds some challenges to a career as a working actress. But Stephanie will be here to tell us all about it at 6:35, as well as two new cool horror films she's in that will be out soon. And then at 7:05, comedian Steve Hofstetter will join us for a bit. Steve is a very funny guy, very hardworking comedian, and I really enjoy his comedy. He did a dry bar special. He's been on Fox Sports. I think he's won a Nobel Peace Prize, if I got that right, for comedy charity work. It's a very specific category, but what a cool thing. You ever won a Nobel Peace Prize, Conrad?
In my previous life.
Yeah. Prove it.
Well, I don't know if I can.
I don't believe. No, he's nominated. Okay, Steve was nominated. Oh, never mind. Nominated. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd take a nomination for anything. But Steve will be here at 7:05. He's performing in Appleton this weekend. So we'll get the details. And as I understand it, there are still a few seats open, but not many, because Steve packs them in. So he'll be here at 7:05. And then it is a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is still on vacation. I think she is into maternity leave time at this point, but she is, this is her third Friday. She will not be with us. We miss Terry desperately, but her vacation is well-earned, and filling in like he did the last couple weeks will be Rocker, her Max Inc. radio co-host. And Rocker's always fun to talk to as well on a Bar Band Friday night. So there you go. That's a show. Let's not waste any more time, Conrad. Let's get to the question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
In honor of Father's Day, who is the best movie or TV dad? You can say who you'd want to be your dad, or who you think was the best out of the dads you saw. Obviously, your own fathers are most likely irreplaceable, but if you had to, in honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? I think, it's weird. I usually give the question some thought. I really didn't tonight, so I'm going to kind of ruminate a little bit on this. I have a couple that come to mind, but we put the question out there. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy. We're on statewide, so just click any of the stations. Are there Brewer games on tonight, Conrad? Are we preempted in any of the smaller markets?
I believe so.
Do we know which ones? Let's go to the Google, because I would love to hear from people on the app. But if you're watching on the stream, hey, that's fun too, folks. You can watch the radio. I'm wearing a really spiffy shirt tonight. I got my eyeglasses on, and I did not shave. So
I like it.
Yeah. Remember the should Pete grow a beard question? I'm almost in that territory right now.
Oh.
But I don't think I'm going to.
You know,
do that. I can't compete with Todd Michaels.
My old razor broke, and it had a good length. It was.
Your razor? The
electric razor. Oh. My electric razor broke. You know, and it was getting to that time. Like, it would take me about. I mean, you've seen me with a little more facial hair.
Yeah.
And you don't think that'd take long to shave, right?
Right.
it almost took an hour with that thing.
It does with that old weed whacker.
So I spent a little change and I bought a new one. And it took me 10 minutes.
Why 10 minutes? That's a long time, right?
Not really.
For you use an electric razor and it takes you 10 minutes?
Before, it took me an hour.
To shave your face?
That's how bad it was.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And now it only takes me about 10 minutes to get that really clean shave.
I got to be and honest. I've never tried one of those.
Oh, my dad showed me. Well, he let me use his, you know. When I started growing facial hair.
Yeah.
I liked that way better than actually using a regular razor.
Interesting. I've always done the wet shave.
Really?
Always. And it takes me about 3 minutes to put shaving cream on and go to town. And I don't, that surprises me, even 10 minutes. That's because I thought about making the switch because it seemed easier and faster, but not according to what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'd say give it a try.
All right.
Because
I'll be over after the show. I'd like to borrow your...
No, you don't.
It's very personal.
Yes.
Okay. That's a nice dad moment, though, speaking of Father's Day.
Yes.
I remember I taught my son Joe to shave, and we have a picture of him holding the razor, and it was a very monumentous occasion in our house. That was fun. I don't know that my dad ever taught me to shave. He's very handy. He's rewired things. He's moved walls around in our house, but he never taught me any of that stuff. And he never taught me how to shave. I think I had to ask the neighbor to play catch. You know what? Come to think of it, I'm not really a fan of my father.
Wow. All right.
He's a good guy. He's got his good qualities. He did. I got none of his handy genes though. And he never forced me to do it. And frankly, if he had, I would have probably resented him. So,
you know what? One of the genes I didn't get from my dad was my dad relaxes from work by cleaning.
Oh dear.
And I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate cleaning.
I don't mind it when I put on headphones or I'll put some YouTube videos on, and I like to do it before I relax. But I don't think when I was your age, I don't think I did either.
Oh, no.
I was already living with my wife at the time, and she'd be like, you expect me to clean all this? And I'm like, no, I don't. It just doesn't bother me. Have a seat. Let's watch some color television. We'll clean it when we're ready. I don't know.
Yeah, those dishes don't bother me right now. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. But I've changed. I've evolved, as they say. So that is our question, folks. In honor of Father's Day, who was the best movie or TV dad? Let us know. You can let us know on the stream. If you happen to be watching the radio, you can check us out on YouTube, X, Twitter, or Facebook. So be good to have you. Please chime in. We've got some great some comments we'll get to in just a minute. I want you to tell the story that you had today. You had an issue at a gas station with two old coots, and I've had similar. Here, I'm going to tell you how I handled it when I was your age and how I handle it now. So you go tell me what happened, because this is a good story.
Well, I had to go to Quick Trip.
You didn't have to.
As usual.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get gas so I didn't have to do it tomorrow morning when I was driving to Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I pay inside, because I had some cash, and I opened the door for these two ladies behind me. One was a little older. One I probably was her daughter.
Okay.
And they're waiting by the door, and I'm like, all right, I'll hold the door open for them. So I open the door. They don't even look at me. They walk right past. They don't even say thank you. So I close the door, and I just shake my head.
You gave them the head shake.
Just walking to my car, I was like, well,
what else can you do, though?
How hard is it to say, hey, thank you?
Right. Some people think they're owed it. And what can you do? They're two old women. What do you, you can give, the head shake is about all you can do. You can't leg sweep them. You know, you can't, you know, give them a, it's just, I feel like some people feel like they're entitled to that. Like, well, I'm old, or I have a disability, or I'm just a jerk. Some people walk through, like, you're there to hold the door for them. I will say, when I was your age, it used to bother me more than it does now. I had an epiphany at one point where I was like, I'm not holding the door open for praise. I'm doing it because I want to be that kind of person that just tries to make someone's life that little bit much easier. But I say that, and there's been times I wanted to get people in a headlock.
I was just trying to be nice. All right. It's okay to be just a simple thank you. You're like, all right, you're welcome.
I don't know. Maybe they both thought the other was going to do it. Neither one of them did. hey, we've got some texts I want to get to from last night's show. I always try to let, I try not to miss any texts, but we've had a couple here, and we were outside last night. Things got out of hand with the Papa Murphy's pizzas we were cooking on the grill. They were dynamite. Check out the chicken thigh. I think it was the chicken thigh pizza that was the best. So we had to, where are my texts here, Conrad? What am I looking for here? We've got...
Well, when we were outside last night...
Yeah.
Steady Eddie chimed in a little too late.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it.
When we were already outside, it's kind of hard to...
I don't know if we would have got to that. It came in at 7:57. That's cutting close.
Exactly.
Especially for the length, typically. The thought that Steady Eddie puts into his texts. He says, Pete, back in the day, late 60s, Tiny Tim became cultural TV and musical... A musical sensation, taking the 1925 song Tiptoe Through the Tulips to number 17 on the top 40 charts. Great memory, Steady Eddie. He got married on Johnny Carson's show. Tiny Tim was a strange-looking man with a high and annoying singing voice. A strange man with little talent or creativity. So what I'm really saying, Pete, is that I still have a chance to be a cultural icon and bring home some serious cash. Steady Eddie, Tiny Tim died on stage in 1996. That's a great text. All right, we'll read Bud from Janesville's text that we got overnight. And I'm going to tell you, folks, what movie set had the most cocaine in the 80s? It might surprise you. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me. Conrad is sitting in the producer chair, and he's not just sitting there. He's actually producing, so that's good.
You know, I do have a pick for this question.
For the dad?
Brian Mills.
Is that the dog from Family Guy?
that's Brian Griffin.
Who's Brian Mills?
Oh, come on. Taken. Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that's a good dad. Certainly protective. Yeah, I don't know. Let's get to, I want to read the text we have, but these are from last night where our question was, whose celebrity, whose fame do you just not get? And I don't want to let these go. This one surprised me. Greg Schwemm, syndicated columnist for Tribune Media Services. He's been on the show several times. He says, Owen Wilson. That's interesting. I like Owen Wilson. I think he's kind of quirky, but I get it. Everything's subjective. Joel Karnick, Civic Media Zone, says Charo. I don't disagree with you, Joel. I actually kind of do, because she is really talented. She's vivacious and likable. But the only thing I would say in counter to what you're saying, Joel, is that she's a really good classical guitarist. And she's been on Nightlight. So I'm loyal. Thanks, Joel. Alan Whitebird says Pete Davidson. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what Pete Davidson really does. I know he was on Saturday Night Live. He's a stand-up comic. He did his own movie, but he's kind of seems like he's segueing into that I'm just a celebrity status. And nobody really knows what his exact skill is. You like Pete Davis, Con?
Pete Davidson?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't mind him.
Okay. Alan Whitebird on social media. That's his celebrity. He doesn't understand. We have a phone call?
Yes, we do. This is Carmela from Milwaukee.
Carmela, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm great, especially now that I get to talk to you.
Oh, you're just a big sweet talker. It's great to have you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I couldn't think of any dads. And then you said movies, and then I asked, it could be TV shows, but then I thought maybe Father of the Bride, Steve Martin's character.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And then I wanted to add about the holding the door thing. And it goes both ways. And especially a Quick Trip. I swear I'm at Quick Trip every day, at least once a day.
Like most people. And,
yeah, I know. And I also try to hold the door, and I do the eye roll like when I get some young whippersnapper, but it's not always young people too. And then I swear sometimes I'm holding the door for like 2 minutes and it's like, okay, all right, next. Here we go. That's okay.
That's the worst when you get, it turns into like rush hour, everybody leaving, and somehow you get designated the door holder for like 5 minutes and you got a life to lead. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
all right.
Awesome.
Have a lovely day.
You That's too. Thank you, Carmela. Have a great night.
Bye.
I'm going to say, all right, my dad's, here's my dad's. I have three. Howard Cunningham from Happy Days. He could be a little crabby, but he was always there. And he just seemed real. Like, he wasn't a fantasy dad, like just the guy who's always the greatest guy. He, you know, ran a small hardware store. He could be kind of cranky at night. He argued with his wife sometimes. But at the end of the day, just a great dad. I actually have four. Phil Dunphy from Modern Family. Love Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of wishy-washy. Kind of wussy a little bit. But just a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. James Evans Sr., from Good Times, played by John Amos. Loved him. A real kind of a hard guy when he had to be, but also kind of a big softy. Raising his family in the Cabrini Green housing projects in Chicago. Was always there, well, until they killed off his character. But loved James Evans Sr. And then, of course, Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is another, just a knucklehead with a very low IQ. But a good dad at the end of the day. And funny. What about you, Con?
You know, Homer does choke out his son a lot, though.
Look, the guy's got his quirks. Okay. Hey, we have a... do you have a dad? Oh, you already said that. Yeah.
For a TV show?
Either one.
I would say I really found him funny. And it's Ross and Monica's dad in
Elliot
Friends.
Gould. Yeah, he was very funny.
Yeah,
our super little harmonica. Funny. Yeah, he was a funny, funny dad. All right, so I teased this before the break, so we need to play it. I was just scrolling through Instagram. Anderson Cooper is interviewing Barry Diller, one of the most famous TV and movie executives ever. And this was their conversation about coked up movie sets. And I just got the biggest kick out of this, and it surprised me.
Most coked up film set.
Coked up film set? Oh, Popeye. No, you can watch. By the way, you can watch it. If you watch Popeye, you're watching a movie that you think of it in you know, the thing they used to do about record speeds, 33, whatever. This is a movie that runs at 78 RPM and 33 speed. It is a coke.
You visited the set. And
I did.
And you would instantly knew everybody's coked up.
You knew it. You couldn't escape it. They were actually shipping in film cans at the time. That film cans would be sent back to L.A. For daily processing of the film. This was shot in Malta. And we found out that the film cans were actually being used to ship cocaine back and forth to this set.
Wow.
Everyone was stoned.
The cocaine has always frightened the living daylights out of me. Ever since Len Bias died, like, I think he had just gotten drafted by the Boston Celtics. It always freaked me out. Never wanted to go anywhere near it. But that story did crack me up. We have a guest on Monday, folks, Phil Krause. He owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. And I told him I would give a shout out because he's coming on the show on Monday. But they're playing The Magnificent Seven at the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh on Father's Day. The 2016 version with Jonathan Joss, who was just killed, actually, by a gunman. Jonathan Joss was, I'm already blanking. What show is he on? I got to pull up Phil's text. But anyway, The Magnificent Seven, 2016, a great film. Check it out at the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh if you're looking for Father's Day plans. When we come back, horror film extraordinaire personality and actress Stephanie Gernel will be here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We are coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The open warfare continues between Israel and Iran. BBC's Ione Wells reports from Jerusalem.
Iran has accused Israel of deliberately targeting a foreign ministry building. Both sides have said that they will continue to direct these attacks on one another unless the other backs down.
Vance Bolter is behind bars this morning, charged in the politically motivated shooting death of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. He was captured last night in a field southwest of Minneapolis. Governor Tim Walz says it's time to recommit to core values.
Each and every one of us can do it. Talk to a neighbor rather than arguing. Debate an issue. Shake hands. Find common ground.
It was a remarkable finish for the winner of the U.S. Open.
34-year-old L.A. native J.J. Spahn birdied the final two holes, ending with the putt of his life to win the 125th U.S. Open for his first major victory.
Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz, CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Another win for Priester. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? The Brewers have the day off before heading to Chicago tomorrow night for a series against the Cubs. The crew with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals yesterday, thanks to 24-year-old Quinn Priester, the right-hander out of Cary, Illinois, who's now won four in a row. I asked him what went through his mind as he held St. Louis to just one run through six innings.
No excuses type of mentality. Even today, you know, don't get a strike, you know, don't get a call go your way. Like, who cares? Like, you can't change it. You know, complain about it's not going to help anybody. So just go out there, do the job. You know, it's asked to me, and try and exceed those expectations and help us win games.
Manager Pat Murphy.
Quinn was great. He's just, we've given him that opportunity, and he's riding it.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers. The series tied at two games apiece. A blockbuster trade. The Grizzlies sending guard Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for two other players and five first-round draft picks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for three seasons now, and season four is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nutritionist and dietitian from Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then Phil Krause, owner of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great to have you with me on this Friday night, folks. Friday the 13th, as we head into the weekend with some just absolutely lovely weather, at least here in the studio. Wanted to read a text we got last night, too, from Bud. Bud is out delivering papers between 4 and 6 a.m. down in the Madison area. And he says, hey, Pete and Conrad. The reason I said that was because he listens to the rebroadcast. You ever listen to the rebroadcast, Conrad?
I don't say that I'm up that early. So,
well, thanks a lot. Thought you were serious about the show. Okay. Bud says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I don't get rappers. This is in response to our question last night, like, whose celebrity do you not understand? He says, I watched Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance, and first of all, I couldn't understand him, and second, there doesn't seem to be much musicianship involved. Now get off my lawn. Love the show. Bud from Janesville. Thank you, Bud. You know what? It's interesting. I have actually become a Kendrick Lamar fan since that halftime show. My kids are both into Kendrick, and I totally get him now. And I would say the same for a lot of performers. You can't understand what they're saying, so I don't know that it was definitely a rap thing or whatever. It's just, people get into playing the part and all that kind of stuff. Like, I know all of Springsteen's lyrics because I know and love Springsteen, but I don't know that I would know everything anybody is saying. But, yeah, I get that, Bud. I don't know a ton about rap either, but thank you for the text, and drive carefully out there and we will stay off your lawn. Okay. One more thing before we get to our guest, Conrad. Cam earlier texted this in. I thought this was great. We've been talking lately about, I celebrate colored television, folks. Yeah. And movies. I love it. I'm an inside guy. I love everything about entertainment. I love movies, TV, yada, yada. So I say, let's celebrate ourselves. And I have referred to listeners of Nightlight previously as, I still can't even say it, couch potatoes. So this is what Cam, one of our listeners, put together. I just love this. Conrad's going to post it in the stream right now. That's horrifying. And you know what that is? Look at how straight my hair is.
Yeah, it's definitely not that way.
It's my face superimposed on a potato. It's a couch potato. And what happened was, on Facebook, my daughter, at the beginning of COVID, I let her straighten my hair if she let me watch John Prine videos, because John Prine was one of the first casualties of COVID. So she straightened my hair and we posed for a picture together in the mirror. And that's the picture. So Cam found the picture of me with straight hair, which is, I don't know. Thank you, Cam. I think that's not a good picture. But it's better than my high school graduation picture. I will say that. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pivot here and talk about some acting. Primarily in horror films. My next guest has never been on the show before, but I thank God for social media, because every once in a while someone pops up as a friend suggestion and I'm like, oh, an actress. Oh my gosh, from the UP. So I had to send a friend request and try to get her on the show. And we did just that. Stephanie Gurno joins me now on Nightlight. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Pete. Thanks so much for having me.
I am in awe of you because you live so far. Like, where I live in Marinette, first of all, I think I told you this in our exchange. Every time I see someone from the UP, I'm like, oh my God, I live right across the river from the UP. Well, the UP is giant. It's like,
yes,
you're like 6 hours from me or whatever it is. So
yeah, all the way on the eastern side. Canada's my backyard. So.
That is great. Because there's a Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and then one in Canada too, right?
Yep, that's okay. Right.
So, all right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How you're an actor. How did you get into this racket? And how do you make it work from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. So I've been acting since I was in high school. I'm 35 years old. So, a long time. Yeah. I did a lot of stage theater. And actually, I hadn't got introduced into film until 2 years ago. One of my friends that I did stage acting with they decided they were going to just make a movie here in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, nice. Called Killer Cabbage. And so that was my first step into, you know, the actual film life. And that was a really fun movie to do. I play a reporter, and it's set, like, it's the only part of the film that, like, goes back to black and white. And we do, like, the old timey, like, the detective shows, almost
like a film noir type.
So it gives that little bit of throwback, but it's about killer cabbages that come to Earth and try to take over.
So I love it.
Yeah, and so that just kind of started the whole snowball from there. There were a couple of people involved in that project that loved it so much they also wanted to try their hand at filmmaking. So there was another project that was done last year called Uper Frankenstein.
Yes.
And that is in post-production right now. It should be almost ready, but that's going to show throughout UP theaters. So I'm really excited to, so we're trying to, like, put the UP on the map. Like, we do exist up here.
It's and it's such a great place to film. I mean, there's so many, right. I mean, you can't really do a big city thing, but, like, it's so beautiful up there, and you've got the lakes and you've got the forest, and there have been some great, like, Anatomy of a Murder was filmed up in Marquette. And so I think it's great. And why not the UP? So, all right. So you've got this film, Killer Cabbage. Have you ever heard of a film called The Giant Spider Invasion?
I have. Yeah. Okay. I'm a huge fan of B movies. I love indie film, and I love that they just, like, go outside the box, but go ahead.
Well, I was just asking because this Killer Cabbage kind of reminds me of, you know, just sort of like the Giant Spider Invasion was in the mid 70s. And we've had the director on the show before. And I love like you said, I like the B movies too. And Killer Cabbage, Uper Frankenstein, though. Please tell us what Uper Frankenstein is.
So Uper Frankenstein is kind of our take on the classic Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It is about a scientist whose wife tragically dies in a lab accident. And the scientist is trying to master the art of reanimation. My character comes in as one of the lead neurologists in the nation and kind of helps him create this monster. And so it really is just like a horror play, but with a Uper twist.
Does Frankenstein have a UP accent? That's what I want to know.
Unfortunately, he does not.
Okay.
So,
he doesn't say much to
me. There are some UP accents that are dropped. There's some, you know, like jokes that only Upers or people who are familiar with the UP will understand, like, littered throughout it. So it's fun. It's a fun throwback.
That's great. Now, you're also credited as a writer on that film.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a collaborative effort. We had Dave Cairns wrote the original script, and then, like, as more of our minds got together, we just kind of all added to it, like, made some tweaks, threw out some ideas. So he was kind enough to kind of give me a writing credit with some of my ideas that nice. I had towards the film.
That's so excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us, if you would, Stephanie. My guest is Stephanie Gurnow. She is a UP-based actress living in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. We're talking about some of the films she's done. I just love the title, Uper Frankenstein. Is that available anywhere to see or stream?
Almost. So okay. It's still in post-production. It's almost done with the editing process. So hopefully, like, within the next couple of months, we should be doing, like, some UP theater releases for that. So,
very nice.
You know, I'll be posting on social media about that once that is actually happening.
Okay. Outstanding. Talk a little bit, if you would, Stephanie, about the limitations you have because of where you live. And you know, you probably didn't know you were going to start film acting when you moved to or grew up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I don't know if you have a family now or what, but you probably have commitments that will keep you there. How do you make this work? Because obviously every movie can't be shot in Sault Ste. Marie.
Right. I have the most supportive husband. He just loves making me happy, and he knows that this makes me happy. And so I have two children. One is about to turn 18. Then I've got a 15-year-old son who plays hockey, because of course you can't live in the UP and not play hockey. But you know, they all love what I do. They think it is the coolest thing ever, which I wasn't sure, especially with my kids, if they were going to be embarrassed that mom is acting, or if they were going to think that it was cool. But they're super supportive. So some of the issues and the challenges that come with that is obviously travel. There's a lot of opportunities downstate that I find like casting calls for. And thankfully, I do have some family that lives down there. So if there ever is a project that's down in that area, I can go and stay with them. But I've actually been flying out to LA to film some stuff out there. So, you know, you got to be willing to travel, especially when you live in an isolated area.
Oh, and how, sister. So let's talk about the two films you said you were filming in LA, because I think I told you, everybody I know, friends of mine who are working actors and work all the time, say the town is dead. And yeah, I've got a son looking into possibly moving out there, and everyone's like, don't come now, it's dead, it's dead. And then here, my new friend Stephanie says, oh, I'm in two movies and we're shooting them in LA. You're like the only working actress in LA. Tell us about those projects, if you would.
So I owe it all to Dustin Ferguson, who is a director, and he owns the production company called SoCal Cinemas. He is like the king of horror out there. I think he has like 162 horror movies under his belt at this point. Yeah. So I did a short for him back in earlier this year called VHS Violence, and he really liked what we did on this short. And so we've been in contact with him, and he wanted me to go out there and film some stuff with him. So I actually just got back last week for filming a movie called Life Forms 3, which will be out on Tubi this fall.
Nice.
Yeah. And then like once that was done, he was like, I got another one for you called Man Eater. And I'm really excited about Man Eater because Walter Phelan, who is also most commonly known as Dr. Satan in House of a Thousand Corpses, and Sue Lanier, who was in the original Wes Craven Hills Have Eyes, have also been cast in movie. Yeah, so like my teenage self is kind of freaking out right now that I get to act with such, you know, bigger named actors, because I never thought that I would be doing this at all, let alone acting with them.
Great little milestones too, when you meet people you've seen on screen, or you know, you're like, oh my gosh, pinch me, you know. I literally just started The Hills Have Eyes about 2 weeks ago, and I got about halfway into it because I had never seen it before. So I imagine that is something that was probably something you saw quite a bit of growing up. My guest is Stephanie Gurno. She's a UP based actress, making it, getting it done from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. When we come back, I want to ask you, what should we ask Stephanie Conrad?
Talk about horror movies.
Well, we're going to talk about horror movies. And I want to ask you, Stephanie, we'll do this after the break. Think about what other kind of movies you would want to do, because you've got horror down on your, I'm looking at your IMDb page right now, and you seem to have mastered that. So we'll talk about some other films when we come back. We're going to do a very short break. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are crushing a Friday night here. It's a few minutes left here in hour number one before intermission. Our question tonight is in honor of Father's Day. Who was the best movie or TV dad? I said Howard Cunningham, Phil Dunphy, James Evans Sr. From Good Times, and Homer Simpson. And Conrad said, what did you say, Conrad?
Brian Mills, Liam Neeson, and Taken.
Right. That's a good one. And, of course, obviously, our own dads are our favorite. But Mike Desitel on the social media says, in modern times, I would say Lance Barber. His role and the way he portrayed it grew better with each passing season. He faced real issues in his relationship with his TV daughter, and was genuinely solid, as I've seen in years. Lance Barber, obviously, was on the show Monday night. He played George Cooper on Young Sheldon and was with me in The Godfather of Green Bay. Lance is a great guy, and that's a great choice. Thank you, Mike. Nathan says Bill Cosby. What the hell is Nathan thinking?
Yeah, I think
that has to be a joke.
It's opposite Nathan, day for the question or something. Comedian,
yeah, and Monica Hale says Robert Duvall and the great Santini. Okay, maybe not the best, but at least realistic. Oh, man. That's brutal. I'm sorry to hear that, Monica. Great movie, though. Thank you for the text, Monica. Always fun. All right. We have a few more minutes with our guest, Stephanie Gurnow. She is a Sault Ste. Marie-based actress, and she is the star of many independent horror films. She just finished filming two projects in Los Angeles, and Youper Frankenstein comes out soon. You have to keep us posted, Stephanie, on when we can see Youper Frankenstein. I'm very excited to see that.
I definitely will.
All right, so who are your acting influences? Like, when you grew up, you already mentioned one of them was In the Hills Have Eyes, but who did you watch growing up, and who did you think, like, maybe 2 years ago when you started film acting, I want to model my career after hers or his? Who did you learn from?
Honestly, like, I really loved Helen Bonham Carter, and just her way of being authentically these characters, over the top, you know, horror icon. Like, she is my inspiration. She is who I really want to be like, and really just like all these Jamie Lee Curtis, all the classic horror Final Girls, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Those are all great. Have you ever been to Mackinac Island?
Of course, yes. It's been a few years, but I love it out there. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's like one of our favorite places, and I always thought that would be a great place to shoot a horror film.
I know. It's the Grand Hotel there. Yeah.
Which is supposed to be haunted anyway.
Right. So we could actually do something with that.
Definitely.
All you filmmakers out there, let me know.
Send Stephanie your ideas. Exactly. So are you a native of Sault Ste. Marie? Like, is that where you grew up?
Yeah. So I was born and raised here in Sault Ste. Marie. I moved away to the Tampa Bay area for a little while and ended up coming home to raise my family because, you know, small towns, you can't beat a small town to raise your kids.
Yeah. Like, well, especially when it's what you know, and you had good experiences there. So that's excellent. So what other kind of acting do you want to do? Is there a role you want that's not horror related? Would you like to be in a rom-com or an action film or something?
So horror is my everything. So I would be very happy with just staying in this category. But if I had to choose something else, it would be like very drama, something very serious, or action. Like that Life Forms one, I got to kill a bunch of aliens. So
awesome.
That was pretty fun. Yeah, so I could do another action film.
That's great. Well, Stephanie, we'll be paying attention. Let us know when these films come out, and we'll have you back on and keep us posted about how things are going. It's been really nice getting to know you tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, break a leg.
Thanks.
I shouldn't say that to someone who's in horror films. that's Stephanie Gurnow, folks, UP-based actress. And you know what we should have done, Conrad, is had her do like a horror scream. We'll do that next time. You would have had to be ready for that anyway. So, all right, in just a few minutes, folks, after intermission, Steve Hostetter will be here, and we have a little sampling of his comedy. He's at the Skyline this weekend in Appleton. He's going to join us after the break, and here is a small sample of Steve's comedy from his Dry Bar special.
My trick is to bring a pillow with me, like a full bedroom pillow, every flight. And I was flying home from a gig, and I put the pillow down, I put my head down, and the flight attendant comes racing over. And she says, "You can't have a pillow in the exit row." And I said, "But I do." It appears we're at an impasse. She said, "Well, what happens if we crash?" I said, "It'll help." It's a pillow. I don't know if you know much about these, but they're soft, they float. Those are the qualities of something I'd like to bring with me to a plane crash. If I knew that we were going to crash, I could bring anything in the world. I'd bring a pillow and a second plane. Those would be the two things I'd like to have. She said, "No, what if we crash and the pillow falls? Someone has to get by it. What will you do?" I said, "Oh, in that case, I'll let them step on my pillow because I'm not a monster." And you'd have to be for someone to be on fire, screaming, and just say, "Could you please watch the pillow?"
That's Steve Hofstetter. He'll be here after the news. Did we give Cam a shout out for making the couch potato?
Yes.
Did we mention Cam? I know we showed the image he did, but okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure we got it.
He messaged that on the Todd Elba show.
Yeah. Which is, we talked earlier about that. That's so cool. Okay. So we're going to be back, folks. I got to read Kurt's text, though. He says, our question of the night is, who's your favorite movie or TV dad? And Kurt Krause on the stream, watching on the stream, says, when Malcolm in the Middle came to Fox in about 1999 or 2000, we literally had friends call the house saying, "You got to see this show. This is your family." They were pretty much spot on. So best TV dad is Hal, played by the brilliant Bryan Cranston. That's awesome, Kurt. Chad Fran says, "Hey, Pete." Hey, Chad, thanks for listening, buddy, or watching. Dave on the stream says, "Dad on Shameless, William Macy." That's fantastic. All right, we're coming back. We'll read more of your texts after the news, and we'll have Steve Hofstetter here. He will be here, and it's Bar Band Friday Night. It's Peach Wobba Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network. No, it just ain't
easy. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
After a two-day manhunt, two sleepless nights, law enforcement have apprehended Vance Bolter.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announcing the capture of the man suspected of shooting and killing Democratic state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband. CBS News Minneapolis Caroline Cummings says officers located him about 60 miles away.
They had tracked him to this location many hours before. They believed that he left on foot and fled into a wooded area, armed, was hiding, but ultimately surrendered to law enforcement when they zeroed in on his location.
Police believe Bolter also shot and wounded another Democratic lawmaker and his wife, Governor Walz, with an update on their condition.
The latest news is Senator Hoffman came out of his final surgery and is moving towards recovery. A vet is healing.